الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقرن في بيوتك في بيوتكن، صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Inshallah, we'll discuss a few aspects of the one very basic principle of Islam, foundation of Islam, and that is parda in hijab. That in Islam, basically it is man must be separate from woman. That strange man and woman, they should not be mixing. That is the basic principle of Islam. And how beautifully somebody has explained that in Islam, you don't light the fire, so you don't have to look after it. That anybody gets burned, there's no fire, so nobody will get burned. And the other concept of the Western world, etc., is you light the fire. And then you tell everyone, be careful, don't get burned. So in Islam, you don't light the fire, you don't have man and woman together. And then you tell them, see, don't do anything wrong. If you are man and woman together, wrong is going to happen. And according to them, let small boys, girls mix also, young people also mix in schools, everywhere, where they mix, but don't do anything wrong. So that is not the Islamic. Islamic is, you don't light the fire, then you don't have to look after it also. So for that, Allah has given this very beautiful command, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ, for woman, and this is a direct address to the woman. Otherwise, women are usually addressed under the man. And the commandments are given and they are to be fulfilled under the man. But here, directly Allah Ta'ala addresses the woman that وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ, and remain bed in your homes. Don't move from your homes. That is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Which in a nice way somebody has said that a woman must also get her degree of PhD, and that is permanent house dweller. She remains permanently in the house, PhD. That is her degree which she has to get. And it comes in the Hadith Sharif, the remotest corner of the house is the best for a woman. Where she, in her own house she is, but also deep inside, where there is no possibility of anyone seeing her. That is the best for a woman. So this and when she is doing her work, she is a PhD, she is at home, and as my Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Mian Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, explained, he said that normally there is no doubt that our woman folk who are by and large, who follow these basic principles, that they are great awliya and they are great waliya, and they go straight to Jannah. That is, they just stay at home, they don't go out. And in the house, they look after the house, cleaning of the house, everything of the house. They look after the husband, they cook his food, they see to his clothing, when he has to go bath, they put his clothes, make the khidmat of the husband. They see to the children, see to all the necessities, cook for the children, tidy them up, etc., everything. And then they perform the 5 times namaz. They make the tilawat reasonably, make some zikr. But this is enough, it comes in the hadith, that such a woman is the favorite of Allah. So just this few basic things, if they stay at home. Also the woman, where the Western world is trying their utmost to take them out of the house, and in fact have already taken them out of the house. The woman, they came also to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, and they said, the man go for jihad, the man go for jamaat namaz, the man go for jumu'ah namaz, many things they do which we cannot do. So they surpass us. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam gave them one of the highest positions. And that is, they are in the forefront of jihad. They don't go out in the jihad on the battlefield, but they are in the forefront, they are the leaders of jihad. When they are at home and they do these basic duties, that is their jihad. And Allah has made it easy for them that in their home, according to how Allah has made them, their biology, their anatomy of the system, their mind, how they work, their brain, everything for them just to be at home, there is nothing more better. And for them to be at the post of being the leaders of jihad. And that is the jihad which they are doing. The first jihad for a woman, we all should understand, is to be able to stay at home. Today with the environment, this was by nature in a woman, just to stay at home. But the West have made the full effort to take her out of the home. And now for her to stay in the home has become an impossibility. She feels bored. She feels I'm wasting my time. What am I doing here at home? I can be of service to humanity. I can be doing this. I can be doing that. That's her first jihad, to be able to stay at home. That her feet don't come out of the house. That they remain stuck in the house. To be able to make that her mizaj, her nature. Her nafs will want to run out all the time with all types of excuses. But her first jihad is to be able to stay at home. Then her jihad after that, her very great jihad, is to look after her husband and to wean the heart of her husband. That even the whole day he's out working, but his heart is with her. He can be amongst other women also. Firstly, the correct environment is that there are no other women also outside. At the workplace, etc., even in the shopping places, men should be doing all this work. But unfortunately, it's not an Islamic khilafah. It's not an Islamic government, a true Islamic government. So all the women are thrown out on the streets everywhere. And not only that they are thrown out, but they beautify themselves. They use all their makeup and all doll themselves up. Now the man, when he's in that environment, then he gets caught up in that environment. But the woman must be such that her love for her husband, her khidmat of her husband, that even when he's there, he's all the time thinking of her. And he appreciates everything he does. And he doesn't pay any attention to the other woman. So that is the other jihad of the woman. Then the jihad of the children, that not only that she cooks food for them, clothes them, etc., but really the main jihad of the mother is that the child, to make the child's mind a pure Islamic mind. And after that, to teach him deen also. First is that the children's mizaj must be a deeni mizaj. And after that, to teach them now Quran Sharif, starting with Tahti, Qaida, etc. But first, that their nature, the children's nature, becomes an Islamic nature. That is the first duty. Very many years ago, we were in Durban, and where the program was, a young boy of 8 years, he read Quran Sharif sitting on the minbar, and the whole masjid was full. And there were many ulama and many huffaz also. But the 8-year-old boy, he was reading with so much confidence, reading so correctly, and his tajweed, everything. I asked his father afterwards that in your mind, how did your son achieve this? 8-year-old boy, and his Quran Sharif so strong, etc. He reflected for a while, and he said when his mother conceived him, then at that time when he was still in her womb, she used to read 15 suparas every day. So the effect of that on the child. So the mother, that is her duty. Even before the child is born, to do that, to read Quran Sharif. And more than that her mind, her heart be clean also. She doesn't think of all wrong things, any gunas, all that. All that has a direct effect on the child. Though the child is still in the womb of the mother, but whatever the mother is thinking of and whatever is in her mind, that will have an effect on the child. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has written to this extent, and he was a great, great philosopher. He says that if mother and father, who are 100% halal for one another, and they are sharing the bed, and in the same room a little baby is sleeping fast asleep, like in the court in these days, etc. But this relationship of the parent, a halal relationship, will also have an effect on the child. On his modesty, sharam, haya, his way of thinking, it will also have an effect on that. The, one of the kings of Afghanistan, forgetting the name, see if I remember the name, his wife, did not eat and did not feed her children with the husband's income. He was a king. Because she said, as a king, your income is contaminated. All different sources of money come to you, and it's not pure, clean money. And therefore, and this actually happened on the Dost Muhammad. He was the king at that time. And the news intelligence came, and government intelligence is sophisticated, they go into it properly, it's not just a hearsay or something. They got intelligence that the army has come and attacking the country, invading the country. So he sent his son to go and repel them with the army. When they went and whatever the battle and that, then a military intelligence came that his son has been defeated. And the enemy is now proceeding and coming to Kabul to take over the capital. So he was very concerned, walking up and down in the house. So his wife asked him, what's wrong? So he said, this is the position. The enemy has been overpowered our son's army, our army, and they are now coming to attack Kabul, the capital. So she told him, don't be worried at all. Our son can never be defeated. So he thought, there is a woman staying in the confines of a house. What she knows about military intelligence, the intelligence of the government, all that, what she knows. And women just talk anything, they say anything. So he just dismissed it. But then intelligence came again, that first intelligence was wrong. It's the opposite. That the son defeated the enemy. And the son is coming now back to Kabul victorious. And he has quelled all the uprising and the attack of the enemy. Then he went back to his wife and he asked her, how come you, a woman in the house, you got no contact with the outside world? Of course, it was no time of mobile phones or anything. You got no contact. How could you say this so convincingly? Then she told him that when I conceived him, from that time already, I did not eat anything of your earnings. I earned my own money as a queen, but I earned my own money with my hard work. That I should eat, and that I should feed my child. And a child who grows up like that can never face a defeat in his life, can never face failure in his life. That child will only face success. And success will not only welcome him, will kiss him at his toes all the time. He will be always successful. So that is the work of the mother. That is, she has put, and she is not a mother of her children only, not the mother in the family, not a grandmother having so many grandchildren, not a great-grandmother, but she is the mother of the ummah. All those children, when she has this and she imbibes these qualities into the children, they are going to be in the different departments of life. They are the ones who will control the country. So if she has it, the Afghanistani woman, as the enemies of Islam in the West, they say all the stupid things, and very unfortunately, many Muslims also get on the bandwagon and sing their song. And what they are saying, they also say that the Afghanist women are very backwards. That is, not the modern Afghanistan women. The ones who are, those who are the mujahideen, who are on the post of jihad in the house. That they are very backwards. That they are very conservative. That they are they are living in a cocoon. They don't know what's happening in the world. They're just living in that small world of their own, knowing nothing what is happening in the outside world. And they are very, very drastic in all their ideas, etc. They are very conservative also, very backwards. What are the other words that are used? They are fanatics, all the extremists, they got very extreme views. All that, they say that. And our people also just, not thinking, also just join them and tell them they are like that. But they are those women who won the battle against the world powers. In the 1870s, round about there, three times Britain, who was the superpower of the world at that time. They were the imperialists and they controlled almost the whole world. Three times they defeated them. And then in the 1970s or so, they defeated Russia. And then in the 2000s, they defeated America. America with all its alliance of about 50 countries. And all of them came, they defeat. It was all, the Mujahideen were in the front. But behind them were these mothers. They held when they were on their post of jihad and preparing their children and giving them an Islamic mind, an Islamic heart. This is that iman which they had put in them. This iman, to get an idea what this iman is, when the British were in England, in India, and the ulama fought against them to try and get rid of them, so that they must leave the country, because the sinister pursuit was to make the whole of India Christian. Everyone, the Hindus, the Sikhs, the Muslims, to make them all Christian. The ulama were the first to understand they are not here just to rule and as administrators and doing the administration of the country, but they have got a very, very dirty agenda. And that is, they want to make the whole country all must be Christian. So the ulama stood up and fought against them. In that, one alim who knew the secrets of the Muslims, their strategies, how they work, he was captured by the British. And with him was his little son of about 7-8 years old. When they took him in and arrested him, they now interrogated him. They wanted all the secrets, the plannings of the ulama, how they are planning to fight them, etc. He would not divulge. And then they would resort to bribery and then to torture. So he told them at that stage that the son of mine, if you kill him and in front of my eyes, then I'm prepared to divulge our secret. So it was so fine with them. They killed him in front of his eyes. After that he said, now you can do what you want to. I won't give you one secret. You can bribe me as much as you want to. You can torture me as much as you want to. I won't give you one secret. They asked him, why did you do this? He said, he's a small boy. He also knew of some of our secrets. And if he comes under pressure, because he's a small boy, it's possible he will speak and give those secrets. Now that he's not there, I know the secret, our secret will not come out. So they asked, what made you do this? Have your own son killed in front of your eyes? He said, iman. That interrogating officer went mad, screaming all the time, iman, iman, iman. What is this iman that makes a person do this? Today we hardly know the word iman properly. The spelling of it, or the what it means, and iman after all means to know. Yaqeen is to believe convincingly, that we haven't got in our lives, that yaqeen, that convincing. As we know, a snake bites, and we see a snake, even if it may be a harmless snake, it hasn't even got poison, that snake, but how frightened we will be. But a fire burns, we know that, and we will be very careful of a fire. But the clear actions, for anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, save yourself and your family from the fire. That is, all those actions which will take you to the fire. Intermingling of sexes, men and women talking, women not observing, parda, all the gunas. But that we haven't go, it doesn't mean anything. We enjoy doing that. Where can that, as one Arin told, that Iman which cannot save us from gunas in this world, how will that Iman save us from the fire of Jahannam in the Akhirah? Our Iman which we claim, and we know how much gunas we are involved in, with no regret, no tawbah, no remorse, how is that Iman going to save us from the fire of Jahannam? So anyway, so the woman, her jihad is that she imbibes in her children these great qualities and of Iman first. And then she teaches them deen. We know by and large, perhaps all of us sitting here, and in those days when we attended school, there was no Darwin theory of evolution. There was no the evolution theory, no Big Bang theory, but all that Western way of life. In fact, one a Christian missionary by the name of Tickley, who worked a lot against the Muslims, in one of the convention seminars, he told them, we must make every effort that every Muslim child must get this secular education, Western education. He said, because each textbook, he has stressed this point, every textbook of ours, whether it's on biology or geography, whether it's maths or anything, it is designed in such a way that a doubt comes in the heart of the Quran Sharif. And once you doubt the Quran Sharif, you doubt Islam. And once they doubt, there is no conviction. Doubt and conviction, yaqeen, don't go together. The minute you have a doubt, and they say that death, every textbook has been designed to create the doubt. So we who have been at school, even those days when there was no Darwin theory, their way of life came into us. So we find almost all of us, how we cherished our sports, our soccer, our cricket, we were fanatics about it. As young children playing, and we died for it. And then supporting also all the teams, etc. That time it was local teams. Now it is all the British league. People go mad supporting them. Anyway, all that, their lifestyle, their way of dressing became part of our life. How they dress, how they have their function. So much so that almost all, definitely all our masjids, and though the Jamiatul Ulama of those days, they were completely different of the present Jamiatul Ulama. But their meetings also was like the meetings how the Western world has meetings, not on the Mashura basis. That Allah give Jazaa Khair to Tabligh Jamaat, they introduced, and now many people are having all their affairs according to Mashura. You have one Amir, some hidayat is given, how you must give your opinion, don't cut somebody else, do it out of sense, etc. But before that, all our masajid, all the meetings were how Western people have their meetings. Somebody motions a proposal, somebody seconds it, all those details, everything. The quorum, they must be there, the minutes of the meeting must be there, somebody must know the meeting, read out, they are adopted, all their system. Our whole meaning life was also on their system, everything. So by attending that school, all that came into our life. It became part of our life. Many of us, the love of that. One was, it was in our life. Then the other, the love of that came into our lives. Then after that came that we started promoting and pushing for that. And over Islamic principles. First of all, there were no, in those days, Islamic way of life. People were not aware. It was only that and promoting that. Now that is, as we understand today, that time we did not understand, may Allah forgive us. Now we understand it was a crooked way of thinking. Crooked lifestyle. A warped way of life. Those same people became ulama also. Not all of them, those who became ulama. But their mizaj was still that way. And now when they have become ulama, now what they, that way of life, that crooked, warped way, what a crooked fork, they are forking out from the Quran to prove that now. To prove that lifestyle. So the mother's duty was to make an Islamic mizaj. And then, as beautifully and Turkish poet says, don't look at Islam with the dunya's eye. Don't look at Islam with the dunya's eye. Look at dunya with Islam's eye. That we have must have an Islamic mizaj. This we can understand clearly. We mentioned it many times. We were traveling in Saudi, Hajj or Umrah occasion, whatever it might be. And the taxi driver, an Arab, he put on the radio and there was music. And he explained to him, it's not permissible, it's haram. Immediately he read the ayat, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of dunya. And it actually means in dunya, don't forget to make your share in akhirah. Don't just devote your dunya for your dunya, but use your dunya to make your akhirah. Now the complete opposite meaning. He said, don't forget your enjoyment in dunya. That you can must listen music, you must have your fun, your enjoyment. So in that even it goes more. That man, woman must mix, have fun, talk, enjoy. Shaitan makes all the zuyyina linnas, makes it beautiful. So all that comes into a person. So if still this year the Islamic mizaj is not made, even if we become alims and we haven't got the mizaj of Islam, one is hudud al-sharia and one is mizaj al-sharia. The mizaj, the nature, we will understand all ayat of Quran, we will use it to prove our dunya. And unfortunately today, many ulama are doing this also. Because we got that way in us, we haven't taken it out. And we haven't got the Islamic way of thinking, the mizaj of Islam. So we use Quran hadith to prove that way of life. So this is the mother's duty, that from this childhood to put the, so much so, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali used to say, my mother spoke so much about Qiyamah to me, and she embedded it in my mind. One day when I fell off the bed as a little child of 3 years, I started shouting, Qiyamah, 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 so much it was in my life. So, and today, what has the child got? From 3 months and 6 months. We were at that time when we went to school at the age of six or so. Now, the child of 3 months perhaps, already the mother will put the TV screen with some comic strips on there, cartoons on there, and that is coming in the child. Then the child goes to pre-primary Montessori, day schools, daycare centers. They are putting all that other way of life. All this was the mother's duty. When a child comes up about two or so, it asks many questions. And that is the learning process of the child. And the first person to answer must be the mother. All those questions and to direct the child towards Islam, towards Iman, towards oneness, towards akhirat, love of Allah, love of deen, and the hatred of dunya. Shaykh al-Hadith, Ar-Rahmana Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali says, he was still a very small child. And like children, today they might have a toy. And they go, you bought the toy for them, and you ask them, give it to me, they won't give it to you. Some other children come to the house, they won't share it with, they'll take this toy, they'll go and lock it up also. Or they will fight, they will have that stubbornness in them. So Hazrat Shaykh had a pillow, which he cherished very much. Like some people might have a teddy bear, maybe with eyes which is haram, or without eyes, small children, a doll they'll have, little girls. With eyes which is haram, without eyes, and you make up a little doll. But they cherish it very much. And it's mine, it's mine. So Hazrat Shaykh had this little pillow, which he cherished all the time. So his father told him, give me that pillow. He refused to give. He said, Mera takya, my pillow. His father gave him one slap and told him, you're hardly earning self and already mine. You're not even earning still in dunya, and you're already, this is mine, I won't share it. He says, from that time, Allah put it in my heart that all this went out of my heart, that this belongs to me. It's an amanat in my hand. All my money, my house, my car, my wife, all is an amanat. It's not mine. Allah just put it as a trust. So the mother has to infuse all this in the child. And the mother, today we don't find it happening. As a small child, I can remember my eldest sister, My mother had passed away, but they should wash the children's faces. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasul. And that is having a great effect on the child. So the mothers have got a very great duty. And when they give up their post in the house, their post of being the leader of jihad. They are the main leaders, the jihad judge, the people who go out in jihad, and the Amir there in jihad. He is not also of that value of the mother's jihad who is at home. Unfortunately, we have to take this name. But Bill Clinton's wife, Hillary Clinton, has written a book, and in which she says that one of our biggest mistakes we have made as Americans is that we took our woman out of the house. We brought them into the commercial field, on the factory floors, in the offices, made them reps, etc., made them air hostesses, secretaries, etc. She said, this is our biggest mistake and an irreversible mistake. We cannot get them back to go to the houses. Islam has taught that, and in Islam, and the time will come when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will come, radiyallahu anhu, then Islamic law will be again 100%. So, and Islam, it had made nikah haram. In the 1940s, America tried also, and a complete ban on nikah. But they found during that period more liquor was consumed when it was open and freely available. But what Islam had done, we know liquor flowed on the streets of Medina like when there's a storm and the storm water flows like that liquor was flowing. The person who had the old liquor, which he said is very valuable, very tasty, that liquor was bottles were broken and thrown away. That person who had it in his bottle or glass, he threw it away. Who lifted it to his mouth, he threw it away. Who put it on his lips, and now it's just a matter of whether it's enjoyment, whatever they used to get. What he had in his mouth, he spat it out. That was so when Islam, when the mother will do her work, she is on her post, if she's not, she hasn't deserted her post, and she's doing, this is the jihad, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ, they remain pegged in your houses, and the duties which are relevant, fulfill those duties. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.